Morning. Today's daf in Brachos Yud Aleph. We're on the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Amud Beis. The Mishnah now is going to continue the halachas of Kriya Shema. We have a mitzvah of Kriya Shema both in the evening and in the morning. We were already introduced to that in the beginning of the Masechta. So the beginning of the Masechta, we dealt with the question of when. When do we say Kriya Shema? So what is the proper time for saying Kriya Shema Shel Arvis? And when is the proper time for saying Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis? So now, next question that we're going to be dealing with over the course of this morning is how do you say Kriya Shema? What position do you need to be when saying Kriya Shema? Is there any particular position that you need to be when saying Kriya Shema? So the Mishnah discusses. So Beit Shammai says there's a very specific position that in the evening a person should recline when saying the Kriya Shema, and in the morning he should stand up. Shenemar v'shach b'chov kamecha. And Beit Shammai's source for that seems to be very clear cut, meaning that the Torah tells us that when you lie down and when you wake up, when you lie down, you're saying Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. When you wake up, you say Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis. And so that not only informs us when you should be saying it, but it also informs us how you should be saying it. And you see, Torah tells us that you're lying down, so that's the position you need to be in. And Uv Kumecha, you're standing up, and that needs to be the position you should be in. Beis Hillel Amrim Kol Adam Kari Kedarko. And Beis Hillel says, no, as far as how to say Kriya Shema, what position you need to be in, so that's perfectly elective. You can do whatever, which way you'd like. Shenemar v'lechtecha v'derech, the Torah says that you're on your way. And so even in the same Parsha, the Torah is very clear that you're on your way, and you can say Kriya Shema. So im kein lama nemar v'shach b'chav v'kumecha v'shash b'nei adam shochvim v'shash b'nei adam omdim. So as far as the terms, the verbs described in the Torah Shach of Kamecha, that only informs us in terms of time. That only tells us when we're supposed to say Kriya Shema, but the Torah has no guiding principle in terms of how to say Kriya Shema. I'm Rabbi Tarfon, Ani Yisi Baba Derech, the Mishnah tells a story. Rabbi Tarfon was on a journey, and the Hitesi Likros Kidiv Rebbe Shammai. And it was approaching evening, and I wanted to say the Kriya Shema shall Arvis. And Hitesi. And so what I did is I lie down, because I wanted to follow the position of Beit Shammai. Now put myself in a vulnerable position, and I was in danger, mortal danger. The listim, the bandits were coming, and they saw me lying down, and okay, let's take advantage of the situation. And I almost died. Amrulo, so here comes the sympathy of the morning. So Amrulo, kedai hayisalachov ba'atzmecha, shavralta divrei Beis Hillel. You deserved it. You deserved it because what you should have done is you should have followed Beis Hillel, and you decided that you're going to follow Beis Shammai instead. And so kedai ba'atzmecha, you deserved it. You shouldn't have done that. Okay. That's one this morning for having a sympathetic ear. The Gemara starts off the discussion. So basic machlokas in the Mishnah in terms of whether or not there is a dictation by the Torah in terms of how to say Kriya Shema. According to Beit Shammai, there is, and according to Beis Hillel, there is not. Beis Shammai Beis Hillel come ifarshi tamai v'tamai de Beis Shammai. Now, as far as Beis Hillel is concerned, we got everything covered. Meaning their position, you could do it in any position. And their position is that as far as the pasuk is concerned, it speaks to the time and informs us of the time. So we got everything covered for Beis Hillel. But here's what we don't know. We don't know what Beit Shammai is going to be doing with Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel seemingly had a very good raya, and that is of the pasuk says, "V'lechtecha v'derech," you're traveling on the way. And that is a really good indication that you could be saying the Kriya Shema in any position. The Torah does not limit us to any particular position. What is Beit Shammai going to do with the pasuk of "V'lechtecha v'derech"? So Am lecha Beit Shammai im kein name akra b'boker uva erev. So first of all, Beit Shammai will say, look, I know the pasuk informs us both about when to say it and how to say it. I know that. Because if you look carefully at the pasuk says, v'shach v'chov kamecha. Now, if it was just a question of when, so what the Torah should have said was, baboker v'erev. So that could have been the easy route the Torah would have taken if the Torah was only interested in telling us when. By virtue of the fact that it says, v'shach v'chov kamecha, now it's teaching us two things. Both when and how. Now, according to Beit Shammai, good. So now you have a very good diuk in the pasuk. But what about v'lechtecha v'derech? So homi b'ayle l'chad t'tanya. They need that for another halacha. What's the other halacha that we need it for? So I'd say a very famous halacha. Usik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. When you're involved in one mitzvah, you're exempt from doing another mitzvah. And we're going to see the source for that. The source for that actually comes from v'lechtecha v'derech, as we're going to see right now. And now the Gemara says, this is what Beit Shammai does with the words of v'lechtecha v'derech. The question, of course, which we're going to deal with in the Gemara is, you know, Beis Hillel subscribes to this idea of osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. So, and how does Beis Hillel arrive at that conclusion? And the interesting point, I'll just give away some of the ending, is that Beis Hillel learns it from the same source. Well, if they learn from the same source, So then, shouldn't they be agreeing to Beit Shammai? Okay, so all this is going to be discovered, uncovered. Let's begin. The Gemara quotes the Braisa b'Shibtacha b'Veisecha Pra Lo'Oseg b'Mitzvah. The Torah says that you are going to be saying Shema, and you're going to be reading the Shema when you are Shibtacha b'Veisecha, when you're sitting in your house. And that excludes when you're not sitting in your house, and that is you're traveling, and traveling to do a mitzvah. Uvelechtecha v'derech pra l'chassan. And as far as lechtecha v'derech is concerned, that excludes a chassan. A chassan who's in route to do a mitzvah, he's going to get married, it's a mitzvah. And so therefore, he too is going to be exempt from saying the Kriya Shema. Mikan amru, akonis is a basula, pater. V'salman achayev. So a person who's going to be marrying a basula is going to be exempt from saying Kriya Shema, but somebody's going to be marrying a widow, so he's going to be chayev. Okay, ad kan divrei habraisa. So there is a lot that needs to be unraveled in the braisa. There are points to one package. First of all, in the braisa, it talks about 2 points. It says that if you're osig b'mitzvah, so then you're going to be pater from Kriya Shema, meaning any other mitzvah. And if you are en route to get married, presumably that's the very same point. If you're en route to get married, you're osig b'mitzvah. Why does the braisa make it sound like these are two separate points requiring two different drushas? That's question number one. Question number two, what's the difference between a basula and amana? Meaning that both of them are marriage, so why should there be a difference if you are en route to marry a basula versus you're en route to marry an amana? Okay, so some basic questions. As far as the first question is concerned, Rashi already picks up on this first question. Rashi writes over here, V'lechtecha b'derech prat l'chassan, Rashi, second Rashi in the Amud. I'm reading the Rashi inside. V'apagav d'chassan nami osik b'mitzvahu. Now, he's also an osik b'mitzvah, our chassan. And it sounds like a second point, but it's not a second point, says Rashi. So, Elav kra yisera lo nafkalami kra kama. We wouldn't have generated this halacha just from the first drasha, says Rashi. Because look, the Torah is not specific. The Torah doesn't say oseg b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah. We're only learning it inferentially. So the kardashina mi beisecha umimatina mine oseg b'mlechas mitzvah. The ika tirda. So here's what I could have said. Look, we're only learning it inferentially. So let's minimize how much we're going to infer. Notably, let's say like this. If you're actually doing a mitzvah, so then you're putter from doing other mitzvahs. Aval chasan de tirda de machshava ba'amahu. But you're getting married. So what are you actually doing? Nothing. You're just standing around waiting to get married. So you're not actually doing anything. It's the anxiety. It's the tension of getting married. Shemechashiv al esek basulim. So there's a lot on your mind right now. You're going to be with your wife. She has a basula, and you're going to rupture the basulim, and there's a lot going on in your mind. So ilav kra yisera lo it ma'it. So Rashi says, so without that extra pasuk, we wouldn't have excluded this, because you're not actually osek b'mitzvah, you're toreid b'mitzvah. So since the miut, the first miut, is only learned inferentially, I wouldn't have gone all the way to the point of osek b'mitzvah and toreid b'mitzvah. The two drushas tells us that it's both osek b'mitzvah and patur min mitzvah. That also explains the second question I asked as well. Why is the braisa making a distinction between a basula and amana? Because the basula and amana is not a function of osek b'mitzvah, that's a function of toreid b'mitzvah. You're just simply involved in a mitzvah, you're thinking about a mitzvah, you're preoccupied with a mitzvah. So therefore there has to be something unique about a basulim, i.e., she has her dam basulim, and there's going to be rupturing of the dam basulim. And remember, with the first Mishnah Ksuvos, the entire marriage is focused around the rupturing of the basulim. Make sure that there is in fact basulim there. We put the wedding right before Beis Din on Thursday morning, so that in the event that there's no basulim, they're going to go to Beis Din. Meaning, this is obviously there's a lot riding on the Bi'ah Rishonah between husband and wife if she's a basulim. So there's a lot of anxiety. It's a lot of stress. As opposed to an amana, if you're not actually osik b'mitzvah, so then there's not much tirda. You don't have to worry about litigation. You don't have to worry about going to court the next day. There's not much tirda. Okay, back to the Gemara. My mashma, amara papa. Now, how exactly does the drasha work? The Torah says you're sitting in your house, and how do I know it excludes osik b'mitzvah? So the Gemara says amara papa ki derech ma derech rishus af kol rishus. So the Gemara says, well, when you're bederech, when you're on your way, meaning that what's the Torah describing? You're on your way. You're doing something volitionally. So milo askina dekazel dvar mitzvah ve'afilo hachem rachmano likrei. Gemara says, look, the Torah is not super clear about this. The Torah just simply says you're on your way. Can't the Torah be describing a scenario in which you're on your way to do a mitzvah and still the Torah says stop and read Shema? So imkein lichtov rachmano b'sheves v'leches. The Gemara says, well, if that would have been the case, the Torah would have said either, not either, but both. While you're sitting, b'sheves, uvaleches, and while you're going. My b'shiftecha uvelechtecha. But the Torah says it in the possessive. You're going on your journey, and you are sitting, meaning this is your time. This is not a Kadosh Baruch Hu's time. So under those circumstances, b'shevedidcha uvelechtidcha hu demechayivta ha demitzvas petirta. So when you're on your time, so then you have to say Shema. But if you're on a Kadosh Baruch Hu's time, i.e. you're osik b'mitzvah, so then you're going to be exempt from saying this Kriya Shema. So yachi afilu kodnes esamana namis. So now the Gemara asks the question, which I already kind of gave the answer to. So why don't we say the same thing by somebody marrying an amana, a widow? So I tarred vailo tarred. The Gemara says there's no tirda. There's not the same kind of stress levels and anxiety when marrying an amana as there is with a basula. So imishum tirda afilu tavos v'nasu bayam nami. So the Gemara says, well, once we learned that there's this idea of anxiety, and anxiety can prevent you from having to do a mitzvah, why don't we just simply say any kind of anxiety? Right? And I'm anxious this morning, I don't have to read Shema. So the Gemara says, no, that we're not going to say. V'chite machanami. Well, the Gemara says, well, maybe let's say it. Maybe that's in fact what the Torah is telling us. That the only time you have to say Shema is when you're anxiety free. So hachanami. Sorry, v'chite machanami. Let's say it. So alam amar Rabbi Abba barzav damarav avel. Gemara says we know it's an impossible conclusion because here's what we know. We know that during Avelus, a person is chayv in doing the mitzvahs of the Torah, all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Now, in Avel's Torah, meaning he just had a loss of one of his Zayin Krovim, and clearly he or she is in a state of anxiety. And so as a result of that, it's clear that anxiety is not going to relieve you from doing the mitzvahs. And any kind of emotional state is not going to relieve you from doing the mitzvos. So what is clear is that you can't arrive at the conclusion that just because the person is in a certain anxious state that he's going to be exempt from doing the mitzvos, the Avel clearly speaks to the idea that you're not. So what are we going to do with the second drasha? It is going to include tirda, but tirda de mitzvah, not just any kind of tirda whatsoever. Notably, I didn't explain this well, but the Braisa said, the Avel's chayv in every mitzvah with the exclusion of tefillin. An Avel is not obligated in the mitzvah of tefillin. Why? Because of the pasuk in Yechezkel. Pasuk in Yechezkel says, Pe'ercha chavush alecha. You Yechezkel, so you're going to be wearing Pe'ercha upon you. And we learned the Gemara Mo'in Katan tells us that Yechezkel was looked at as an exceptional case study, meaning he was going to be an Avelis and he was going to do something that was contrary to what an Avel normally does not do. Meaning normally an Avel does not wear tefillin. Okay, and we learn it from the Pasuk in Yechezkel. So that's the only thing that an Avel is going to be exempt from. Really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi writes regarding the tefillin. Rashi divra maschal alama amar Rabbi Abba. And look at the drop to the end of the Rashi, where Rashi writes in those last two lines, v'kevin debau pe'er, v'avel misgolel b'tzaharo ba'afar, ein ze pe'er. So Rashi says that, look, what are tefillin? Tefillin are a crown. That's the pe'er. And an avel is misgolel b'tzaharo. He's in such a distressed situation. Ba'afar, he's, you know, figuratively or literally rolling in the dust, ein ze pe'er. So now's not the time to put on a crown. That's the way Rashi understands the idea of tefillin being a pe'er and the avel being excluded from it. Now, it's an interesting Rashi because, first of all, the Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara just simply says that we know that an avel doesn't wear tefillin because of the pasuk in Yechezkel. It didn't give us a svara. Rashi goes one step further beyond the Gemara. Rashi is actually giving us a svara. And Tosus notes this very point. And Tosus, the top Tosus on the Amud, he quotes the Rashi. And Tosfos right, second line in Tosfos. V'im tamar v'lama li hay taima. Tepikle medamer lecheskel perecha chavush alecha mechlal de l'cholei ha-me'asar. Well, what was wrong with the Gemara? The Gemara had a limud from Yechezkel. You Yechezkel are going to put on tefillin. That means that the standard practice is for an avel not to put on tefillin. And leave it alone. What is Rashi giving us as vara? The tirate says Sar Mikutzi. So Tosfos quotes. He quotes the Sar Mikutzi. Right, one of the Balei HaTosfos, he had an interesting name, Sarmi Kutzi, he was a count of Kutzi. So Kutzi, one of the towns in France. So one pshat says Tosfos is as follows. The Sarmi Kutzi writes that, you see, without Rashi, here's what I would have said. An Avel is Pater from Tefillin. Oh, so if he's Pater in Tefillin, shouldn't he be Pater in all the other mitzvahs as well? We know the importance of Tefillin. We know the significance of Tefillin. So once there's an exemption that's created for Tefillin, so then for sure there should be exemptions for other mitzvahs as well. So Rashi's telling us, no, tefillin is special, tefillin is unique. The reason why an avel doesn't wear tefillin is specific to the avel. So don't go and make any kind of extension just because there's an exemption from tefillin. There should be an exemption from other mitzvahs as well. That's the Sar Mikutse. Inam Mitosis gives another answer. Sarach Tamid the Rashi lechayva betefillin la'achar yom rishon de lo shayich me'olal ba'afar karno ela biyom rishon dafka. Oh, another possibility in terms of why Rashi gives a svara. Rashi gives a svara because we know that an aval after the first day is obligated to wear tefillin. What's the difference? An aval the first day, aval on the second day. Once you have a svara, now you can make a distinction between day one and beyond day one. Without a svara, you would have said that the aval's pater all 7 days. So another reason, another benefit of giving a svara and understanding Rashi's svara. So Rashi gives a svara why an aval doesn't wear tefillin, even though the Gemara did not. What do we gain from that svara? So Tosfos gives two answers. Back to our Gemara. Our Gemara picking up right in the middle of the Amud Yud Aleph Amud Aleph where we last left off. Hasam Taritir did the mitzvah. Hacha Taritir did the rishos. Did I skip a little bit? No. Okay, good. So the Gemara wants to know. So your boat sunk in the ocean, okay, and you just suffered tremendous financial loss. Okay, this morning I'm going to be putter from the mitzvah Shema, right? Because I'm Torahed. And the Gemara says, no, you're not going to be exempt. Yes, it's true. You lost money. That's stressful. That's tremendous anxiety. That's true. But that's tirda de rishos. The only thing that the Torah gives you an exemption from when it comes to the mitzvah of Shema is tirda de mitzvah. If you're anxious about doing a mitzvah, i.e. you're going to marry a besulim, we're there even though you're not doing anything but the anxiety of getting married, and it's a mitzvah, that you're going to be exempt. But for just tirda de rishos, so for that you're not going to be exempt. Next line of Gemara, the Bach takes it out. It just seems to be just a summary point. Okay. Ubeisilo Amri. Now the Gemara says, okay, good. So now we have, according to Beis Shammai, the pasuk is there. V'lachtecha v'derech informs us that osek b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah, and that's why they can't learn out what Beis Hillel did. Notably, that you could say Shema in whatever position you want to be in. So now the question comes back on Beis Hillel. So according to Beis Hillel, so v'lachtecha v'derech tells us that you could say Shema in whatever position you want, and so now according to Beis Hillel, what does he learn at the halacha of osek b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah? Gemara's answer, very quick answer. So Beisola Amri Mimela Shmamina Dafila Baderach Namikari. So Mimela Shmamina. So it's an interesting way of darshaning. Rashi explains, we basically get out both points. Meaning the Beisilo principally fundamentally agrees with Beis Shammai. Uvalechtcha Baderach teaches us Allah of Osek B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. And he is in agreement with Beis Shammai. But at the very same time, look at the way the Torah phrases it. Uvalechtcha Baderach, and you're traveling. Why would the Torah use it in such a manner? So Shema Mina Mimela. So just by a side point, the Torah is also telling us, and you don't have to be in any particular position when you're saying the Shema. Okay, it's generally speaking, the Gemara wants to limit one limud per drasha or per phrase or per word, but basically Beis Hillel says that the two conclusions are inescapable, and so therefore we do walk away with both conclusions. Tana Rabban, the Gemara now is going to be giving us a number of Brisas, a couple of Brisas, that are going to speak to this machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel, Omri Mom de Mekorin, Yoshev Mekorin, Numatim Mekorin, Hochim Mederech Mekorin, Osim Mamlach de Mekorin. So Beis Hillel says that you could say the Shema however you would like. You could be standing, you could be sitting, you could be walking on the way, you could be doing your work, and you could be saying Kriya Shema. O Maisa Rabbi Shema, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, and then the Brisa continues with a story of Rabbi Shema, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Shayim Mesubim, Mamach Mechad, Vayu Rabbi Shema, Muta. So they were walking on the way, and Rabbi Shmuel now is reclined. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah zakuf, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is in a standing position. Kevin shegiyas man kriya shma, and now it's time for kriya shma. Hita Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, "Okay, now I'm going to recline." Vizakuf Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, "Oh, you're going to recline? Oh, I'm going to stand up." Okay, good. So I'm a law. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Shmuel. Yishmael achi emshel chamash lamad David Domer. And so here comes the dialogue, where Rav Elazar ben Azariah says to Rabbi Shmuel, you know, I'm a little bit offended. And just in case you don't fully understand how offended I am, so let me give you a mashal. It's like someone comes over to you and says, what a beautiful beard. A beautiful beard. Yeah, you know what? Go to the barber. Go get it cut off. Look, I'm standing and you're lying down. Achshav kishani itesi, and Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, now I'm going to go lie down, and ataza kafta, and now you decide that you want to stand up. In other words, dafka. You did it because you saw me lie down. And Bedafka, you stood up. And what's going on over here? You're just doing it to provoke me. You're just doing it to be defiant. So Amar Lo, so Rabbi Shmuel says that's not the case at all. I'm following Beis Hillel, you're following Beis Shammai. Now here, obviously, we're talking about the Kriyas Shema Shel Arvis. And Rav Elazar ben Azariah, what he felt is that, look, it's Mariv. Shema Shel Arvis. So what does the Pasuk say? V'shach Becha. And who am I going to follow? Beis Shammai. Which means that right now I'm in a standing position. I got to go lie down because I got to follow Beis Shammai. And so Rabbi Shmuel says to Rabbi Elazar, and what I'm correcting the world to know is that that's not the halacha. V'lo od el shema yiro tamina v'ikva halacha l'daros. And people are going to see, oh, did you hear Rav Elazar ben Azariah when he said the Shema at night? He was standing and he went to go lie down. And so therefore, he wanted people to know that's not the halacha. And that's why he specifically went from a lying position to a standing position. So, my velo ovichitem ebeisalonami islematin, hani milidamatava asamikara. So the Gemara says now that additional point basically informs us of the following. Look, according to Beis Hillel, you could be lying down. Lying down is also acceptable over in Beis Hillel. The whole point, according to Beis Hillel, is that the Torah is not makpid about what position we're in. But over here, because Rav Elazar ben Azariah moved from a position of standing to reclining, and so now everyone's watching and everyone's thinking to himself, oh, it's because he holds like Beis Shammai is doing that. So Shema Yura Tamina Vikva Alach L'Doros. So because he moved from one position to another in order to specifically go like Beis Shammai, so Rabbi Shmuel says, I have to show everybody that that's not the case. And that's why I went from a reclining position to a standing position. Okay. Tini Rabbi Cheskel, the Gemara gives us another brisa. That's going to make basically the same point. Well, that's not true. This brisa is going to make an additional point. So the brisa starts off with, if you want to go like Beis Shammai, that's fine. And if you want to go like Beis Hillel, that's fine. Rav Yosef Amar Asa Kedivrei Beis Shammai Lo Asa V'lo Klum. Now Rav Yosef says, no, just the opposite. You go like Beis Shammai, you've done nothing. You've done nothing. Now it's really interesting because we know that according to Beis Hillel, either position is allowed. So now you move into a position that conforms to the viewpoint of Beis Shammai, and nothing, and you get no credit. That's hard to imagine. The Gemara says it's hard to imagine, but that's so. Did not the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Mishaya Rosh, Veruba, Besukah, Veshuchan, Besuch, Habayis, beginning of Besach, the Sukkah. The Gemara over there has a couple of machlokas regarding a Sukkah Gedola, Sukkah Katana. We're talking about the machlokas of, you're in the Sukkah. Sukkah is, in terms of dimensions, a Kashuk Sukkah. It just happens to be that right now your table is not in the Sukkah. Your table right now is outside the Sukkah. So what's the halacha over here? So, Mishaya Rosh Avruba Besukah V'Shulchan Besukah Habayis Rabbi Shimon. Sorry, Beis Shammai Poslum Beis Hillel Machshirin. So it's a machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And Beis Shammai says it's disqualified. Beis Hillel says that it's fine. Amr Lahem Beis Hillel LeBeis Shammai Meiser Shachu Zikne Beis Shammai Zikne Beis Hillel Levakers Rav Yochanan Ben Acharanis. So we went to go pay a visit. He was sick to Rav Yochanan and Matzau Shaya Rosh Avruba Besukah V'Shulchan Besukah Habayis V'Lo Amr Lo Klum. And nothing was said to such an individual. So Beis Hillel says, so good. So no, nothing was said. Amr lahem Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, Misham Raya? No, what do you mean nothing was said? I'll tell you why nothing was said. Because you have the story wrong. Avheim amru lo, im kena isa no, igvalo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. Something was said. And that something was, that's not the way to perform the mitzvah of sukkah. Your table has to be in the sukkah. Your table can't be outside the sukkah. And in fact, if that's the way you sat in your sukkah, lo kiyamta mitzvah biyamecha, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah. Now, the table being outside the sukkah, what's the issue? The issue is that you may lean over your table. And if you lean over your table, where are you going to find yourself? You're going to find yourself outside the sukkah. So as the gzera derabanan, so therefore your table cannot be outside the sukkah. And meanwhile, the language over here is so strong. If you did in this manner, even if you were end up being in the sukkah, and even if you didn't lean over the table, nevertheless, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah biyamecha. You haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah. What comes out over here is that it's a gzera derabanan, but because of the gzera derabanan, they were able to uproot the mitzvah min haTorah. And so, the same thing over here. Meaning, the position, Beis Hillel is fine with either position, but if you go out of your way to conform to the position of Beis Shammai, so what they did is they revoked the mitzvah. Now, that's very strong language for violating a gzera derabanan. A revocation of the mitzvah, but that's lechora, that's what it seems to be. Rashi seems to suggest that as well over here. Take a look at the Rashi, lo kiyamta. I'm not going to read inside. Rav Nachman Bar Yisrael Gamar also kedivrei Rabbi Shammai Chayev Misa. The Gemara really says it now as strongly as possible. We already said it pretty strong. Lo kiyamta mitzvah. You haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. But now we're going to say it even stronger. Your chayv misa. Obviously, misa over here meaning a misa bidei shamayim. So did not. I'm Rabbi Tafan. Ani isi babadek. But he tasted the cross. Kedivrei Shammai. Visi kanti batzmi. Mimnei alistim. Amar lo mikan. Kedai ha'isa lachovas mecha. Shavarta al divrei beisela. And this idea, by the way, was basically expressed in the Mishnah. That's exactly what we learned together in the Mishnah. This idea that because you follow the position of Beis Shammai, so therefore kedai lecha, meaning you deserved it. And again, as we've already pointed out in the Mishnah, that's very harsh language, right, for following the position of Beis Shammai, kedai lecha. But now we understand chayiv misa, meaning you put yourself in mortal danger, and I'll tell you the truth. If you would have died, we would have understood because you shouldn't have followed the position of Beis Shammai. Okay. Okay, Adkan, that's the first half of today's daf, right? Fits in well in terms of organization, right? We pretty much end with the first amud. So in the first amud of today's daf, we went through the machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Is the Torah makbid on the position that you're in when you're saying the Shema? Beis Shammai says that the Torah is makbid. Beis Hillel says the Torah is not makbid. Obviously, in this particular case, the halacha follows like Beis Hillel. And if you do follow like Beis Shammai, what? So we had positions, it's not the only position, but we had positions of lo kiyamta mitzvah, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. We had an opinion of chayiv misa. The Gemara, obviously, in this particular machlokus, was very opposed to the idea of following the position of Beis Shammai. It is a little bit interesting. Tosfos raises this over here as well, meaning pshita. Isn't it obvious that the halacha doesn't fall like Beis Shammai? And the strong language that's used to say that the halacha doesn't fall like Beis Shammai. So see the second Tosfos for a little bit of a discussion on that. We're going to go on. We're on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph and the brachos of Kriya Shema. So we know that the Chachamim instituted brachos to be said before and after Kriya Shema. We already learned together 7 brachos in total. Now I'm saying 7. It sounds a little bit confusing, but I'm taking the sum total of both Shacharis and Maariv. At Maariv we have 4 brachos, 2 before, 2 after. At Shacharis we have 3 brachos, 2 before, 1 after. And the Chachamim instituted that we say these brachos before and after Kriya Shema. It's there maybe to perform the function of a birchos mitzvah. Although that's a little bit difficult because a birchas mitzvah usually comes out to being 1 bracha. And over here we have 3 brachas. Perhaps it's there to create adhesion between Shema and Shemona Esrei. Remember, Smichas Gula L'Tfila, which is a big part of the first perek of brachas. And over here, the brachas basically facilitate that adhesion, where it creates some sort of binding agent between the Shema and the Shemona Esrei. That also could be another function of the brachas of Kriya Shema. Okay, and also we had a drasha in the pasuk in Tehillim about why specifically the number 7. There's something specific and unique to the number 7. Regardless, whether our brachas of Kriya Shema, and so now we're going to learn together the halachas of the brachas of Kriya Shema. So in the morning, now why here are we starting with the morning? Why don't we start with the evening? So the Gemara already addressed that question on Daf Beis. And so in the beginning of the Masechta, the Gemara noted that when we talked about Shema, we went night-day. And now we're talking about the brachas of Kriya Shema, we're going day-night. So why is that? The answer is, the Gemara says, because that's the pattern. That's the format. The format is A-B, B-A. So in terms of Shema, A-B, night-day. And then in terms of brachas of Kriya Shema, B-A, day-night. Okay? Chazara. Anyway, b'shachar mevarach shtayim lefanav v'achas l'acharah, uve'erev mevarach shtayim lefanav v'shtayim l'acharah. So the first point the Mishnah tells us is the number of brachas, which we already went over. Good, but we're now seeing in the Mishnah. Okay, so for Shacharis, it's 2-1. 2 before, 1 after. For Maariv, it's 2-2. 2 before, 2 after. Achas arucha v'achas kitzara. There's one that's long and there's one that's short. Makam sharmu lahariach ein rasha l'katzer. Now the one that's long, don't make it short. L'katzer ain't a rashai laharich, and the one that's short, don't make it long. Lachtom, if the bracha has a chasima, a concluding bracha, ain't a rashai shalolachtom. So don't take away the chasima, don't take away the signature bracha. And shalolachtom, and if the bracha was formulated where it does not have a chasima, ain't a rashai lachtom. So then you're not allowed to make a chasima, add a signature bracha to the end. Now, Rashi over here on this last point, I'm going to come back to the Ksara Arucha. But just right now, I'm just sitting on this last point of the Mishnah. Rashi says this point over here is not just specific to Brachos Kriya Shema. It is specific to Brachos in total. And that is that in Brachos in total, so you got to follow the format of the Chachamim. Rashi writes on the last Rashi in the Mishnah, Brachos HaPeros, Brachos HaMitzvos. So those are short, punctuated Brachos. Keep them short and punctuated. Don't start ad-libbing, and don't start adding a chasima. The Chachamim, by design, designed them to be ksara. He designed them to be short. Okay, so that's the so if it has a chasima, make the chasima. If it doesn't, don't add a chasima. Okay, that's the last point of the Mishnah. Arucha ketsara, what's that talking about? Long brachas, short brachas. So Rashi over here writes, achas arucha v'achas ketsara. Rashi divar amaskal, achas arucha, achas ketsara. He writes, ashtaim lachareha de arvis kai. So we're talking about the two brachas after Marim. One of them is long, and one of them is short. Okay, so the first one's long, second one's short. Good, and that's the way Rashi describes it. And Tosfos says, no. The arucha ketsara is just simply going on the same point of that which has a chasima and that which doesn't have a chasima. You probably noticed that longer brachas tend to have a chasima and shorter brachas tend not to have a chasima. And when the Mishnah says arucha and ketsara, Rabbeinu Tam writes it at the end of the Tosfos. Divar amascha achas arucha v'achas ketsara v'nir le Rabbeinu Tam. I'm reading inside. Da'akol kai be'emes v'amuna achas arucha v'achas ketsara klamar ben yarich ba ben yikatzer ba kid lekaman v'chein ashkechana hasam achas arusos v'achas nesuos achas besulos achas be'ulos. Sometimes the Mishnah is making the same point, just giving different descriptions of the same point. The aruchos are the one with a chasima. The ketsaros were the ones without a chasima. That's all the Mishnah means by that. It's not talking to any bracha specifically to Kriyashma. Okay, anyway, I'm not sure if there's going to be a practical difference between Rashi and Tosfos, but according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Mishnah is just simply saying arucha and ketsara is the same point as that which has a chasima and that which does not have a chasima. Maimavarch, what is...
Yeah.
It's a ketsara.
Yeah, because the long one is
Emes v'amona is the long one.
Emes v'amona.
Yeah. Okay. I hear your point. It may just simply be the chasima is the bracha in of itself. And Ashkivin, it just may be a preamble. Maybe. Maim avarich am Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov am Rabbi Yoshia. Okay. So what is the bracha? Now the Gemara is asking the question as if it's already not formatted. Okay, just as a general point, when going through Gemara, this point is very specific to brachas. We don't get that off in the Nusach HaTfilah, right? It's an interesting observation, and you know I'm not the first one who made it. We don't. The Mishnayos and the Gemara never give us almost never give us the Nusach HaTfilah, right? Where am I going to find Shmona Esrei amongst the Mishnayos and in the Gemara? It's not there. And why isn't it there? And the answer pretty much is self-evident, because everybody knew it. Meaning the Nusach HaTfilah, everybody knew. So the Gemara over here is asking a question. What's the nusach of the bracha that we say before Shema in the morning? So it's a funny question. Meaning, what's the nusach of bracha? Meaning, didn't everyone say it? Don't we know? And so obviously over here, when the Gemara is asking a question like this, so the answer is, yeah, everyone said it and everyone generally knows. And the Gemara doesn't have to go over nusach. There are a couple of tefillahs, in fact, even in today's daf, where we do get nusach of brachas. But generally speaking, we don't get a lot of it. So over here, the Gemara is obviously here making a specific point. It's not really going over the entire nusach of the brachas of Shema. So the Gemara says like this: Ma'im Avarcham Rav Yaakov Amar Rav Yoshia Yotze Or Verichoshech. Okay. So the bracha is Yotze Or Verichoshech. Okay, good. The first bracha of Kriya Shema. So Velema Yotze Or Verinoga. So the Gemara says, you know, it's interesting. It is morning, right? It's the bracha Shema of Shacharis. So Yotze Or, it's light. And why are we talking about Choshech now? It's a funny time to talk about Choshech. It's morning. It's light. So, Yotze Or, Bari Noga. Can't we say, Kadosh Baruch Hu created light, and it's really bright outside? And why shouldn't that be the bracha? Gemara's answer is very simple. Kedichsiv Kamrinon. What do you mean? The Nusach HaBracha is following the format of the Navi. The Navi Yeshayahu. The Pasuk is Yotze Or, Uvari Choshech. And obviously, we're following the format of the Navi. And the Navi is there to tell us that Kadosh Baruch Hu created both light and dark. And the ancient religions, ancient pagan religions, divided light and dark. There's one force for light, and there's another force for dark, and it's not the same force. And we say to all that nonsense. In other words, it's one HaKadosh Baruch Hu created both. He created both the Or V'Choshech. That's the point in Yeshayahu, and that's the point that we're articulating when we say the Brachos Shema in the morning. And so we're following the Pasuk and Navi. What do you mean? Why do we say it otherwise? We're following the Navi. So Alameata, so the Gemara says, okay, it's a setup point. And that is, well, if we're following the Navi Yeshayahu, Osa Shalom Uvorira, Mi Kamrinan, we're not following the Navi. because then the Navi says that Kadosh Baruch Hu creates good and ra. And again, by the way, it in terms of the point that the Navi is trying to make, it's perfect. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the source of everything. He's the source of good and what is perceived as bad. It's all coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the good. So we understand the Navi. Why isn't the Mesader HaBrachos? Why didn't Chazal follow that pattern? So Kedichsiv. So as it's written in the Navi, Alexiv Ra, the Karin and Hakol, Lishna Maalya, Hachinami Lema Noga Lishna. I'm sorry, Lishna Maalya. So the Gemara says, well, we don't want to say the word Ra, meaning as part of an institution of a bracha. So the Chachamim didn't want to put the word Ra in the bracha. So we say Yotzer Hakol. But we're making the same point. It's just that we're using a clean language. So Hachinami Lema Noga Lishna Maalya. So the Gemara says, okay. So we don't have to say darkness. We could say Noga. And it can understood be Lashon Saginahor. It's a euphemism. Why don't we do that? Right? The first Mishnah of Psachim. Or La Arba Asar. What's Or La Arba Asar? It's referring to the night. Right? But we don't want to say night. So we use a euphemism. So Ella Amarava Kidei Laskir Midas Yom Balailo Midas Laila Bayom. So Rava says, fine. I'm with you. So the reason why we're opening up with Yotze Or V'Rechoshech is because we want to speak to the contrast. We want to speak to the contrast between night and day, and so therefore, and the brachas are Shema in the morning, so we speak to this contrast. So it's not necessarily because we have to follow the pasuk verbatim, because the Gemara made an outstanding point. If we're following the pasuk verbatim, so then we should be saying yotzer ra, which we don't. Okay, so the Gemara says fine. So it's for the purposes of contrast. So bishlam amidas la bayom kedar minan. So good. So in the morning yotzer or v'rechoshech, good. So the contrast is very clear. Where do you see it by Maariv? And the Birchu Shema by Maariv, so Yotzer V'Rechoshech Al Amidos Yom B'Layla Hechi Mishkachala. That's the Gemara's question. Amar Abaye Gola Or Mimnei Choshech V'Choshech Mimnei Or. So what do you mean? Go through the bracha, you'll see it. The Gemara spells it out. So Kadosh Baruch Hu rolled out the light because of darkness V'Choshech Mimnei Or. Okay, so the contrast is there. V'Idach Ma'hi Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Also good. So now we know that the first bracha of Shema that we say is Yotzer Or. Okay, with a couple of technical points. So the Gemara obviously wants to speak to the idea of contrast. And we have to contrast both the morning and in the evening. Next, what's the second bracha that we say before Shema? Oh. So Avarabba. V'chein ori le Rebbe Lazar le'Rebbe Bidas Berei, Avarabba. So the Gemara has one nosach, which is Avarabba. Tanya mehachi en omrim avas olam ela Avarabba. Now, the Bryce over here, you already see that there's some conflict. Because look at the way the Bryce was formulated. You don't say Avas Olam, but rather you say Avarabba. When somebody tells you what not to say, it's because some people said it. So so it's not Avas Olam, it's Avarabba. V'Rabbanan Amri Avas Olam. Now the Chachamim disagree, they say Avas Olam. V'Chenu Omer V'Avas Olam Avticha Akein Mishachticha Chesed. And the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu speaks to this Avas Olam, this eternal love. So I'm not sure if I'm in a position where I can clearly articulate what are really the subtle differences between saying Avarabba, the great love, Avas Olam, the eternal love. Okay, I'm not in a position where I can really highlight why it's such a big difference. Clearly, the Gemara is making this out that this is it's a big deal, and I'm limited in my ability to explain why it's such a big deal. Anyway, okay, so it's a machlokus in terms of what the Nusach HaBracha should be. So good. So I'm standing side by side with my Sephardic brother. And so what's meant minug? So the minug is, I say Avarabba, he says Avas Olam. Okay, good. Ahavat Olam. Okay.
You got it much better.
I'm trying. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hishkim L'Shano Sashalo Kara Kriya Shema.
Isn't Avarabba one time, Avat Olam is eternal?
I can agree with you. I don't know. Okay. Some have the minute of switching between weekday and Shabbos. I heard. I'm Ashkenaz. I don't know, but I heard. I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm Shmuel. Yeah. Hishkim l'shanos hachalok kara kriya shma tzarich levarich. So if you wake up, before you wake up to learn, you wake up early to learn, and you haven't gone to kriya shma tzarich levarich. So you have to make a bracha. What bracha are we talking about? Brachos haTorah. Here we are, Brachos Taf Yud Alpha Med Beis. We're now introducing ourselves to Brachos haTorah. So you have to make a Brachos haTorah. However, Mishikara Krishma ain't Sarach Levarech, Shikvar Nifter Bava Rabba. But if, let's say, you didn't make a Brachos haTorah in the morning and you went straight to davening, so now after davening, you don't have to make a Brachos haTorah. Why? Because you did already. What's the Brachos haTorah? It's called the second Bracha of Krishma. Avarabba. Avarabba is a substitution for Birchas HaTorah. Amravuna lemikra tzarech levarach lemizra shein tzarech levarach. Really interesting Gemara coming up, and that is you're going to learn. And it's before Shema, and you're going to have to make a Birchas HaTorah. What are you going to make a Birchas HaTorah on? What kind of limud warrants, necessitates a Birchas HaTorah? And to that, the Gemara brings down really interesting machlokas. Rav Huna says that for Chumash, you have to make a bracha, but for Medrash, you don't. Now, when the Gemara says Medrash over here, right? Remember, we're learning Gemara right now. So Medrash, from the context of the Gemara, is Medrash Halacha. We're talking about Sifra, Sifrei, right? Mechilta. We're talking about the Medrash Halacha. Not Midrash in the context of, you know, the Rashi and Chumash, where, you know, they're beautiful, but that's not what the Gemara is referring to. The Gemara is referring to Medrash Halacha. But for Medrash Halacha, you don't need to make a Birchas HaTorah. Now, what it challenges us to do is really understand what is Birchas HaTorah. Meaning, will you be making it on Chumash, but you're not going to be making it on Medrash? Medrash is Torah Shabbat Peh. How are you not making a Birchas HaTorah on Torah Shabbat Peh? So obviously what it forces us to do is to think about what is Birchas HaTorah and what is it going on. So okay, fine. Lemezer shein tzarech levarach. Rav Elazar amar lemikra lemezer tzarech levarach lemish shein tzarech levarach. So Rav Elazar says that for mikra and medrash you do make a bracha, but for mishnah you don't make a bracha. This is a position that really requires thought. That for medrash you do make a birchas haTorah, but for mishnayos you don't. What's the difference between medrash and mishnah? They're both Torah Shabbat Peh. Okay, that really requires analysis, which I'm not providing right now, but. All of us have homework to do. Rav Yochanan amar af lemishnah nami tzarech levarach, and Rav Yochanan says no. For mishnah, you have to make a birchas haTorah. Aval Talmud and tzarech levarach, but not for Talmud. Okay. And Rava amar af Talmud tzarech levarach, and Rava is of the opinion that for Talmud you have to make a bracha, a birchas haTorah. Amar Rav Chia bar Ashi zimn segin avakim keim nekamei de Rav. Listenu pirkin besifra de be Rav. So Rav Chia bar Ashi says many times I was in front of Rav and we were learning medrash together. Right, he calls it Sifra de Bei Rav. Right, the Sifra is probably a reference to the Sifra itself, to that the Sifra is the Medrash on Vayikra, and Sifra de Bei Rav. Basically, this is, you know, the rabbinic interpretation. It's Torah Shabbat Peh. And have a makta v'kamashi yadeu baruchu masni lapirkan. So first, what he'd do is he would wash his hands, the tilas yadayim, and then he would make a birchas haTorah, and then he would teach it to us. So Maisa Rav, that's what Rav did. Rav actually made a birchas haTorah, even though it was what you and I would refer to as Talmud. So my mevarch, what exactly is a Birchas HaTorah? And here we go. We get Nusach. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Asher Kishay Mitzav Sivan La'asok B'Divrei Sora. Okay, sorry. That's the Ashkenaz. So Rav Yochanan Misayim Ba'achi Arav Na Hashem Lakeinu Was Divrei Sora Secha B'Fino B'Fifio Samcha Beis Yisrael B'Ni Anachna V'Tzenim V'Tzenim V'Tzenimcha Beis Yisrael Kolan Yodei Shemecha. Now we have in the Gemara the Nusach of Oskei Sora Secha. Right? Some have the Nusach of Lomdei. Either way, Berchat Hashem Alamed HaTorah La'amo Yisrael. So here the Gemara gives us a nusach of the Berchat HaTorah. Rav Hamnuna Amar Asher Bachaban Mikol Amim Nasalanos Torah So Berchat Hashem Nosein HaTorah. Now seemingly Rav Hamnuna is giving a differing opinion in terms of what the Berchat HaTorah should be Asher Bachabanu. Am Rav Hamnuna Zuhi Me'ula Sheba Brachos. And Rav Hamnuna says this is the most wonderful of the Brachos. Hilkach Lemenu L'chulo. And therefore what you should do is you should do everything. Meaning say both Brachos. Say the Berch of Lasok with Harevna, say Asher Brachabanu, so say it all. Say both brachas, and obviously v'kach noeg, that's what everyone does. Everyone makes both brachas when making a Birchas HaTorah. Okay, obviously there's a lot to discuss over here, which I'm not going to do, right? I'm sensitive to the time, but I will discuss, however, Tosfos right here on the Amud. So Tosfos on the Amud quotes the Yerushalmi. So if you take a look at the Tosfos, Divra Maschel Shekvar Nifter Ba'avirabah, he quotes the Yerushalmi, it's the second line of Tosfos. Yesh ha darmina shekvar nifter ba'avirabah, v'hu shashana al atar. So the Yerushalmi says, Avirabah works, meaning it substitutes for Birchas HaTorah. But then what you have to do is you have to learn immediately afterwards. Now, first of all, the Yerushalmi is interesting. The Yerushalmi is interesting because what are you doing immediately after Avirabah? You're saying Shema. And the Yerushalmi doesn't acknowledge that as being a function of Limud HaTorah. And all I'm going to do is repeat my sentence without a question mark, but I'll just simply put a period over there. The Yerushalmi does not view Kriya Shema as a function of Limud HaTorah. Okay. Okay, we're learning Tosfos right now. let's say with Tosfos. So Perish La'alter Shalame Miyad Boso Makom. And so the Yerushalmi means is that if your Avirab is serving as Birchas HaTorah, so you got to be learning immediately afterwards, and then and only then does it work. So Vinish Allah Rav Yitzchak Kegon Anu Shein Anu Lamdim Yad La'achar Tfilas HaShachar, Shanu Trudim V'Hochim, Kach B'lo Limud, Ad Emtza Hayom O Yoser, Amayin Anu Mevarchim, Birchas HaTorah, Pam Acheres, Kishanu Maschil Lomod. So let's take this Yerushalmi seriously. Let's. And so the Bali Atosas ask one another, here's what we do. We daven in the morning, and then what we do is we run to work. And what we're going to learn later in the day, right, midday, a little bit after midday, shouldn't we make another Birchas HaTorah? Meaning, shouldn't we take the Yerushalmi seriously? So first of all, the first response is, yeah, of course take the Yerushalmi seriously. But take the Bavli more seriously. The Bavli doesn't make such a provision. The provision is only found in the Yerushalmi. The Bavli doesn't agree. So you have a machlok between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Follow the Bavli. That's point number one. Point number two, va'od. Afil lefi Yerushalmi dafka avaraba. Delo havi ikar brach lebrichas HaTorah. The ikar avaraba lekriyash manitkan. Oh. A wonderful point of the Balei HaTosfos. And that is that there's the main Birchas HaTorah, and then there's the substitute Birchas HaTorah. Ava Rabba serves as a substitute Birchas HaTorah. So when you're doing the substitute Birchas HaTorah of Ava Rabba, so then it needs to follow immediately with learning. Ah, but if you're doing the main Birchas HaTorah, that covers you for the whole day. Nitkan uvishvil hi einu nifter mi Birchas HaTorah, ela im yomo miyad, v'gam lo yaseh hesech adas, aval birchas asher bachabanu, so that's Iker Birchas HaTorah, and that's going to cover you for the whole day. So, and then he goes on from there, comparing Birchas HaTorah to the Bracha of Sukkah. By Sukkah, we keep saying the Bracha again and again. By Birchas HaTorah, we don't. Let's do this. I know the time is late, but it's such a fundamental point. So the fundamental difference between Sukkah and Torah, when it comes to Torah, so you're there in Torah all the time, even if you're not learning Torah. But we are required to learn Torah, we're obligated to learn Torah, and as part of our day, even part of our work day, Torah is going to be guiding our every minute of every day. So the bracha of Lasuk B'Divrei Torah is going to cover us, even if we're not engaged in learning, but learning happens nevertheless, either through action, or just simply through the chiyuv that we're obligated in learning. But by sukkah, however, you step outside the sukkah for an extended period of time, you got to go back in. You got to refresh the bracha. You could say that. You could say that. I'm just going over Tosos's answer. Ava achila b'sukkah yeshakvua. But when it comes to sukkah, so it's a shakvua, it's established time. You're eating a meal, and then you leave the sukkah because the meal's over. Come back. You got to make a new bracha. Okay. So good. So really fundamental Tosos over here in terms of Ava Rabba serving as a substitute bracha. It's not the Iker bracha. Iker bracha is the Birchas HaTorah as we know them, and could be the difference between the Yushami's point and our niyug of we don't refresh and hit the refresh button on the Birchas HaTorah. And Tosfos speaks to the distinction between Birchas HaTorah versus the bracha over a sukkah. Let's go back to our Gemara, and we're towards the bottom of the Amud. Tanan Hasam, we're learning a Mishnah over there. Where's this Mishnah? Tamid. So those of you who have been around for a little bit, you remember the Mishnah Tamid. It wasn't that long ago. So Armalama Mamuna Bercha Bercha Achas Vein Barchu. So the Mamuna says, the appointed one, we're talking about the Seder Avoda in the base of Mikdash on a daily basis. The Kohanim were up early in the morning. And so we're getting ready to offer the Karban Tamid. And so the Mishnayos and Tamid go through the daily procedure in the base of Mikdash. And the one who was appointed say Bercha Bercha Achas Vein Barchu. So they're going to be saying a very abbreviated version of Shacharis. So first of all, we contract the first two brachas to one bracha. Which of the one brachas are we saying? So we discussed this back in Tamid, and we get to discuss it again this morning. And then they make that one bracha, not two, the Karo Aseres HaDibros. So interesting, they read the Aseres HaDibros. What happened to the Aseres HaDibros? How come we don't say it on a daily basis? Okay, I'm glad you asked. Come back tomorrow. So the Shema v'ayam Shema v'yomer, the three paragraphs of Shema, u'barchu esa'am, and then they're going to make a bracha. Now, esa'am, it sounds like they're blessing the people. But Rashi over here understands it to be im ha'am, together with the people. Gimel brachos, they're going to be saying three brachos. Emes v'yatziv, so they say the bracha of emes v'yatziv, that's the bracha after Shema. Avoda, they're going to say ritzei. And birchas kohanim, and the bracha of birchas kohanim, obviously they're kohanim. Now on Shabbos, they're going to be adding another bracha because that's when we are shifting. We're changing the guard between the last week's Mishmar and this week's Mishmar. Okay. The Mishnah and Talmud, obviously there's much to discuss over here, but we're going to stay focused on just the Bracha Rishona because that's obviously our topic. And we're going to just press ahead in the Gemara, my Bracha Achas. What exactly is Bracha Achas? Kehad Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yossi, Bar Abba, Iklu, Lahu, Asra. And they went to a particular community, Baal Minayu, my Bracha Achas. Okay, can we get Pshat in that Mishnah and Talmud? What is that Bracha Achas? Meaning there are two candidates. So could you identify which one is Bracha Achas? Lo hava biyadai, they didn't know. Vasar shayla l'Rav Masna. Lo hava biyadai, Rav Masna didn't know. Asar shayla l'Rav Yehuda, amalu achi amar Shmuel. So ava rabba. So it is Bracha number two. That's the Bracha Achas that was said. V'am Rabbi Zrika, amar Rabbi Ami, amar Rabbi Shem Malakish Yotze Or. And other Amoraim, quoting in the name Reish Lakish, it's a Bracha of Yotze Or. Ki asar Rav Yosef bar Yosef, amar had Rabbi Zrika la befer shidmar la mechlala itmar. Now this comment of Rav Zrika, he didn't say it straight out. We're learning it only inferentially. What do we learn together? That the brachos are not ma'akev one another. Meaning that the brachos can exist independent of one another. And you could say one without the other. Now, let's think this through. Now, let's imagine that the bracha that they're saying is yotze or. Good. I now understand the conclusion. It's a solid conclusion. Which is that you said Yotze Or, they didn't say Avarabba. Okay, you could say Avarabba later. And they're not ma'akiv one another. Now, Deloka Amri Avarabba. Ela'i Amart Avarabba, Hava Amre. So, but let's say the one bracha that they said in the morning was Avarabba. The conclusion would not be that the brachas are not ma'akiv Zedzeh. Why wouldn't that be the conclusion? Because I can give you a totally different reason why they didn't say Yotze Or. You know why didn't they say Yotze Or? Because it was too early. The Kohanim woke up at an extraordinarily early time. It was pre-dawn. It's too early. Or even if it was dawn, it's too early. We learned yesterday's Mishnah and Gemara. So, Iyamart, 2 days ago, Daftas. Iyamart, Ava, Rabba, Hava, Amri, my bracha, Zem, Akva, Zu, Azu, Dama, Hai, Delo, Amri, Yotze, Or, Mishum, Delo, Matas, Man, Yotze, Or, Vichi, Matas, Man, Yotze, Or, Hava, Amri. So, the reason why they're not saying Yotze, Or, has nothing to do with Ikuv. The reason why they're not saying Yotze Or is because it's just simply too early. So by virtue of the fact that we concluded that there ain't ma'akva zu, so it makes sense then that the bracha that they did say was Yotze Or. Okay, so that's the inference that we're making in terms of which bracha it is that they said. So the Gemara says, okay, so it's inferential. Isn't it good inference? The Gemara says, not necessarily. Maybe they said, and then later in the morning, when it's light enough, they're going to say, Yotze Or. And then as far as the point of they're not ma'akev, it just simply means Seder brachos. It just simply means that the orders are not ma'akev. Meaning you must say both of them, but not necessarily in the order that was given to us. We first have Yotze Or and we have Avarabba. So by virtue of the fact that for them it was too early and they said Avarabba, and only later they said Yotze Or, so maybe the ikuv over here is not that they're not essential, they are essential. It's just that the order is not essential. So that could be really the only concluding point that we can gain from there. Okay, let's recap our morning. First half of this morning, we learned about the positioning in terms of saying Shema. Beis Shammai says the Torah is Makbid. Beis Hillel says the Torah is not Makbid. And the subsequent discussion in the Gemara in terms of to what degree do we not follow the Shita of Beis Shammai. And the Gemara felt very strongly not to follow Beis Shammai. Second half of today's daf, we talked about the Berachos Kriya Shema. In the morning, two before, one after. In the evening, two before, two after. And the Gemara, a subsequent discussion regarding the Nusach HaBracha for Yotze Or, what exactly is the guiding principles of the Nusach HaBracha? Contrast is the Gemara's answer. What's the Nusach of the second Bracha, Avarabba, Avasolam? Gemara has a debate on this issue, various menhagim based on the debate presented in the Gemara. You're making a Birchas HaTorah. If you don't, you only say Avarabba, that substitutes for the Birchas HaTorah. And we went through Tosfos in terms of either the primary Birchas HaTorah, the substitute Birchas HaTorah, and there may be a difference between the two. What do you make Birchas HaTorah on? The Gemara has a debate on that. Really cuts into what exactly is Birchas HaTorah. And finally, the Mishnah and Tamid, which tells us that the Kohanim, when they would be doing the Avodah, so they'd be saying one of the two Brachas. Which is the one of the two Brachas? There are two candidates. So, Machlokas in the Gemara in terms of which of the two.